Welcome to episode 2 of Main Street Moxie, a storytelling podcast produced by entrepreneurship students at Franklin College, focusing on the small businesses that make our towns special. This week's episode is with Rye Vaughn of Art House Balloon Company, and the story that you are about to hear is just phenomenal. I said the first episode was near perfect. This one is too. The grit, the resilience, the inspiration, the creativity, the problem solving, like all of these things come together in one person's story. And to hear about just how things fall into place and how the world kind of comes together once you decide that you are going to go for something, it's one of those really special looks behind the scenes, and something that I hope is an inspiration not just for the students who got to put this story together, but for everybody who's listening, that just like in episode one, here is someone who reached out and grabbed an opportunity, or more appropriately, made an opportunity come together for them. I really hope that you listen all the way through. This is a fantastic conversation. Let's get into it. Episode 2 with Rye Vaughn and the Art House Balloon Company.
Bunch of questions.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, well, kind of starting off, if you don't mind, I'll ask the first one. But so if you have maybe a story or, like, I guess some advice maybe about how you started off your own company and venturing on your own.
Yeah. Well, what's your name? Where are you from?
I forgot.
You're all good. You're all good.
We weren't recording that.
You're all good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What's your name? Where are you from? Tell us, you know, the backstory, the background. Yeah. Just spill.
What you doing, all that?
Okay. My name is Rye Vaughn. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana, born and raised. I started as a hobby in 2017 when my child was 8 years old at the time. We did a lot of personal events, and my friends were like, oh, you should charge for this. You should charge for this. And I'm like, no, nobody paid me for this. This is, you know, commercially available. They'll just go get it from Walmart or whatever. But I was really mesmerized by what was able to be created using balloons as a medium. So I continued to stick with the hobby. In 2020, I went to a conference called Float, and it's a major balloon convention that's held every 2 years in the Midwest. I was really impressed by what was created, but more so impressed by the fact that there were people who literally did balloons full time. Like, that was their only job. And I wanted to be like them so bad. So I literally just quit my job. Like, I quit it at the convention, never went back.
What were you working at?
I was working for Community Corrections as a home detention case manager, and I had been there for like 2 years at that time.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's interesting you say that. My mom is a nurse practitioner in correct care facilities in Mobile, so that's a cool little connection, I think.
Yeah. She's got an interesting job.
Yeah. Well, she'll never let me forget that. So it's really awesome that you were able to just quit and follow that and pursue what you want to do. So I admire you for that.
Thanks.
So did you have, I mean, other than the convention, did you meet people there that really kind of helped you and showed you the way to do it full time? Or
so they didn't necessarily show me the way to do it full time, but they just inspired me by existing. I met a lot of friends there that I'm still friends with now, and we see each other a few times out of the year. I remember my friend Allison Dunning. She did not even know me, but she taught me how to make my first topiary. And I tell her that all the time. Like, Allison, you're the reason why I'm full-time, because you and Kenny, like, showed me how to make a ball. And I was just so impressed by it. And she's always like, no, it's you. I'm like, no, girl, it was you.
Wow. That's awesome. That's really awesome. So you said those connections are going to probably be lifelong.
Oh, definitely, for sure. We just wrapped up our first big build here called Paradise, and some of my friends that I've met through the balloon world came to help me from all over. So I have friends from Oregon, North Carolina, in Boston come down to help me. If I'd never gone to any of these events, I would not have even known them for them to come and spend the week with me.
So you, would you say, like, collaboration is a big part of what you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I'm a member of an organization called the Big Balloon Build, and we travel the world providing large-scale immersive displays. So we're all about collaboration and coming together as artists to make a giant, massive project and then give it away to charity.
Which is really dope. You guys can go check that out, too, on Art House Balloon Company on Instagram. So, yeah. But how do you, like, you know, scale out your business in, you know, order to be able to quit your job like you did and to be consistent in your work and make profit in what you do?
So I would say the first thing would be to ignore what everybody says. Because a lot of people you talk to, you're talking to their consumers. So the advice they're giving you is not business advice. They're giving you advice through the lens of, I don't want to pay for X service, or I don't want to pay more than. And that'll get in your head and discourage you and make you feel like you can't charge a profitable rate, or that you have to compete with other people to be the lowest. You don't have to do that. Charge what it costs. If it costs you $100,000 to make it, then you need to charge $200,000. So that you can have a profit. You don't need to worry about the fact that there are 59 people who won't pay, because you just need that 60th person that will. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be my first piece of advice on how you scale. And then finding good people. I've been blessed to have my daughter and my nephew, Josh, help me out. And that has allowed me to grow, because without them, I could not take the orders and the volume that I'm able to take just by myself. So getting a good team is going to be very important as well.
Okay, so kind of branching off that, do you expect to hire, like, employees at some point? Or is that where you want to take it? If not?
Yeah, so when I started my business, I was kind of very clear that I wanted to hire from my own family so that they never had to work for somebody else, because that can be difficult. It doesn't give you the same flexibility that you might need to necessarily maybe go do real estate and then also have a job. And you can balance that out. So my goal is to just continue to scale and be profitable, so I continue to bring more and more of my family members on and teach them a skill, because in our family, we don't have any entrepreneurs. I'm the only one. So I'm trying to showcase something for the younger ones.
That's really powerful. Mm-hmm. Respect you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Going back to the notes that we had, you know, cooked up.
So,
read that.
So did you always, like, obviously I don't think you would have thought this is what you wanted to do as a kid, but what maybe got you into this artistic space? Were you always art centric, or did you think you were going to go a different path? And if so,
my mom's a crafter. So I kind of grew up with, like, scrapbooking and paper crafts and that type of fun stuff. So I was kind of always like a DIY queen. So I guess I was kind of always raised to go into the creative field, but I previously thought I had no talents. I can't sing, I can't paint, I can't draw, I can barely color, you know what I mean? So going into this and having balloons as a medium was kind of shocking. It was also shocking that people will pay you. I mean, prior to being in this industry, I didn't realize that the party balloon industry is a $9.7 billion industry. It churns a lot of funds. So getting into it now and seeing it now, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. This is why it's commercially available, but there is a whole artistic aspect of it. And being able to create you out of balloons for me is more fun than being able to sell, like, a regular little bouquet that might be comparable with something at Party City or Walmart.
So I'm going to relate to you on that. I'm not an artistic person by any means, but I think seeing something come to fruition through my hands, through a medium that I work with, is, like, the most powerful thing you can do.
Agreed.
And so my family, we run a construction business, so nice. Not really the same in terms of art.
It is the same. We build things. Engineering and building, yeah, it's cool.
So it's like I can relate to you right there. I love seeing things that I work on with my hands, with my family, come to fruition.
And you're like, look, I built that wall right there. Yeah. That's all me. I painted that.
That's exactly right. I ride around with my dad all the time, and if we go through town, he'll be like, we worked on that building. You see that up there? We built that.
Or that's crazy.
We weld things too, which is kind of more artsy, but, like, we do hand railings and a little bit of detail work. And so things like that, my grandpa especially, he's really proud of it, because he's like, that railing up there, I welded that. I did that. And It's just, it's a different kind of proud, I feel like. Whenever you can look at it and be like, that was me.
Right. And then when other people can enjoy it, the people who work in that building, your family's responsible for keeping them safe. Because if they had built it in a shoddy way, it would collapse.
You know? Exactly. It's just like with your business. Like, if you mess up on the balloons and they fall down and they keep, it's because of you. Like, all it is because of you.
Yeah, huge catalyst of having a successful event or wherever you display the balloons. That's you.
Yeah, yeah,
bring joy to people, that's you.
Quite literally, yeah, that's exactly what we do. Spread joy with balloons.
It's powerful.
So, what is, like, your, the next biggest, like, move for you besides All-Star Weekend that just occurred?
So we've got the rally convention coming up again, and that's always really major. For those who don't know, rally is the largest cross-sector convention in the country, and this will be their second year. Last year they had an amazing turnout, so they're trying to sell like 3,000 tickets or something. They had like 2,000 attendees in their first year, which is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane for a convention that talks about agriculture and entrepreneurship, sports, medicine, and that type of thing. So we've got that coming up. We're in planning with them. And honestly, just we've got some other stuff coming up with Anthem. Well, I guess it isn't called Anthem anymore, but they call it Levantel, but I keep calling them Anthem. But they've got some stuff coming up, and we've got some big builds planned for the year. Competing in our first competition next month in Chicago.
Talk about that. How's that gonna go? What are you thinking about that?
What am I thinking about it?
Yeah, like, what does that mean in your industry? A competition, and what? Like, what are you doing?
Right, so there are multiple... Okay, so we'll go back to talk about Float, that convention that I mentioned before. That's every 2 years. Mm-hmm. It's this year. So they have something called Designer of the Year Awards, where you design something, build it, and then people vote on it. I'm competing in the sculpture competition, so I have 12 hours to build a sculpture, and then people will vote on it. All out of balloons. And if I win, then I'll get $500.
Nice.
Which I'm not really in it to win. Right. I'm just competing just to kind of break through the barrier of, am I a strong enough artist to compete? So
that'd be a big stepping stone for you.
Yeah.
To actually, you know, prevail and be like, yeah, I can. I actually do this by myself.
Yeah. Well, it's not alone, thankfully. You get to pick a team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a team of 9.
But the idea is yours.
Yes, you have to design it, order the balloons, and then you can't build anything until you get there. Mm. So there's no, so it's not like when we're at home, we get to prep. There is no prep. Mm-hmm. You just get to do it. You got 12 hours, and if it's not done, it's just not done.
Wow. So time constraints and stuff like that you work under often?
Yeah. Always.
So those are late nights. You're up working on those balloons.
Oh, yeah.
Getting it done for the people that need them.
Yeah, I've literally had to spend a night in a venue before.
Ooh.
Like, works 4 p.m. to 8 a.m. I was there when the people left, and I was there when they came back. They're like, good morning. I'm like, oh, no, this is night. Yeah. I never left.
I'm still here.
I'm still here.
That's crazy.
In the convention center all alone. It was so scary.
But it's what you got to do, right?
Right.
At the end of the day, it's how you got
to
do it.
Sometimes it happens. You just got to get done.
And it's worth it.
Yeah.
If you love something, it's worth it.
Yeah, agreed.
What would you say, you know, from the start, or like the start of you buying, speaking of that, like, where are you located at? Like, where is your shop? Do you have a shop? Do you, where's your business at?
So we're located currently inside of Circle Center Mall. We've been in the mall for 3 years. We should be moving on into our own standalone space here in the next couple of weeks. In the Park Fletcher area in Annapolis. So
that's really exciting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. In 3 years to be able to scale like that is very impressive.
So,
back to that question. Where did you start? And like build, take me through like the from home, from a new place, a place of business where you started working at. Like, take me through that. Where did you go?
So initially, actually, when I started trying to build a business, because I won't say it was a business, but trying to build a business, I was actually homeless at that time. Mm. So I was living with my friend, and then I was living with my sister for a few months. Moved out to live with my sister into my own apartment, where I put my business in the closet. So instead of having an actual closet, I had an office, and I would shut myself in there, and it was the tiniest little space. Like, you literally could kick your leg out, and you'd be like, touch it off for a while. So it was the smallest little closet. Worked out of that for a while, in 2019, I tried my hand at a little space, but it was in the wrong area, which that's important to know where you put your business. If it's in the wrong area, it may not grow the way you want it to be. So we were off of 38th and Sherman, which was really far from where I lived and is not the best area of town. So that did not go well. So we put the business back in the closet. Then COVID shut down the world. Mm. And we were considered non-essential employees. So I technically was not legally allowed to work, but I was working anyways because bills. Mm. So, yeah,
that's right.
So I was kind of illegally driving my car. And at that time, nobody was having parties. So I had to create a product that would be in demand, which I call partygrams. And they're little deliveries that you can do for all occasions. So even when people got COVID, we were delivering get well partygrams. If they were having babies, we were delivering, you know, welcome baby partygrams to the hospitals, putting out yard decor in their yards because they weren't having parties inside, but we were still trying to showcase that you still got to celebrate anyway, especially with the amount of deaths we were seeing very quickly at that time. From there, I got on the news with Randall Newsom. And we did the he's so great. He's not here anymore, but yeah. He used to be. Went on the news with him, got featured in Pattern Magazine, and things kind of started going up from there. In 2021, I took my last $500, paid my deposit on my space in the mall. I didn't even have any real method for how I was going to pay the rent every month. I just was like, this is not an opportunity I can pass up, so I have to work it out. And we've been there ever since.
So taking that risk was well worth it.
Yeah, it worked out. And it was ironic, too, because I actually was not trying to get a space. I was trying to get a little kiosk for Valentine's Day, and that was it. I just wanted to be there just for the 1 month. And the landlord at the time was like, well, if you'll commit to us for 3 months, then I'll give you a deal. So I was like, okay, whatever. So in 3 months, I was like, okay, this is fine. I'll stay. So I signed a year contract. Then another year went by. And they're like, oh, we got a better space for you downstairs. You want to come look at it? I'm like, okay, sure, go look at it. And I'm like, this is cool. So then another year went by. So that's how we've been there.
That's amazing.
That is. That's
Literally really cool. All the definitions we hit in class as well. Mm-hmm. Like, word for word. Yeah,
everything. He put up on the board for us the traits of an entrepreneur and what you should be comfortable with, taking risks.
And you're pretty much all of them.
Yeah, you did.
Thanks.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, that's literally the perfect example, so he's going to love to hear that. But kind of on the, I guess you could say, marketing side of things, did you sorry to sound ignorant about this, but did you reach out to the news or did they come to you? And then do you market through like Facebook or a specialized site of some kind for your...
So in the beginning, we operated on Facebook. Like most people, Facebook has a lot of users, and depending on what you do, it's a good marketing platform for you. For me personally, though, it did not create the consumer base that I was trying to attach to. There's a lot of personal users, and I actually do more corporate decor. So we had to start with word of mouth. So I got my first major corporate client technically in 2019 when I got the NCAA. That was my first corporate client. They ordered 2 balloon columns. It was classic, and I was, like, so impressed with it. I'm like, oh, my God, it's NCAA. All
right.
From there, then we started to get more and more. So we don't use a lot of social media marketing. We do have a pretty heavy social media presence. We have a little over 12,000 followers currently and growing. But we just do a lot of word of mouth. And the main thing with business is what you show is what people will purchase, right? So if you don't want to do a lot of small contracts, show the big ones. Even if you get a lot of small ones, only show the big ones.
Mm.
Because then people will feel like that is what you cater to, and you'll start to attract more of those. So with the news, I'm in a lot of groups. Most entrepreneurs are. So you have to go to things, which for me was pretty difficult in the beginning because I had a lot of social anxiety and I hated talking to people. So it became kind of a mission to get over it. And so I intentionally started going to these meetings, introducing myself, talking to people. So I met some people with the Black Urban Exchange, and they are actually the ones who set up the first interview that I had with Randall. And then from there, people have just picked up my story. So we've been featured amongst many stations. We've been on All Indiana. We were on Daybreak on Thursday. We've been on the radio. We've been in multiple magazines. We're kind of like all over the place. But it just comes from accepting the opportunity, even if it makes you uncomfortable. Because I don't always want to talk to people, and I definitely don't always feel like going on air. But if I don't talk about my business, if I don't showcase it, people won't know it exists. Mm-hmm. Because the internet only goes so far. And everyone does not use the internet. Everyone is not on social media. So you have to reach them where they are.
Especially, like, it's kind of like going hand in hand with what we got going on. Because we have to talk about, you know, a company that we're going to build or a business we're going to build for rural areas. And mm-hmm. maybe they're not on the internet or, you know, on social media. So that's kind of, that kind of goes hand in hand, like what you're saying.
Yeah, meet mm-hmm. them where they are. Go mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. If they do a lot of township meetings, go to the meetings. Pass out your card. Get to know the people that you service in the community you're in. Because that'll go a lot further than any ad spend you can do.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the top name companies that you work for or small businesses too that we might know? Off the top of your head, you know.
Well, everybody knows the NBA, right? And everybody knows the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
So those are some of my clients. Big Ten Network, Coca-Cola. We've done work for Coca-Cola, you know them. Ben Davis High School, mm-hmm. you know them. Let's see, who are some of the others?
Even those insurance companies too, and all the downtown.
Yeah, Great Financial.
Hyatt. All of them.
Yeah, Marriott. We've done some things for them. Walmart. Everybody knows Walmart. Yeah. No one's for Walmart. Mm. Everywhere, really. We service everyone.
So that's awesome.
Thank you.
I mean, personally, whenever you told me you did balloons, I was like, and then because really the only exposure I'd ever seen was, I guess, noticing it, but not noticing it. And so now getting a new appreciation for it is really eye-opening and mm-hmm. incredible, quite honestly, because I'm glad to see you're doing very well because
Thank
of it.
You.
So I guess if you don't want to get into this too far, but technicality, so including things like taxes and legislation in the Indiana area, did you find that hard to balance starting out, and do you have a way of going about it, or?
Yeah, so taxes are horrible, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a long little process, and it's a little different when you're self-employed because you get taxed the most.
Yeah, you get taxed twice, mm-hmm. pretty much.
Double taxation.
Yes, pretty much taxed twice, and then, and off your business.
With the LLC, yeah.
Yes, even with the LLC, you still get taxed twice because you'd have to be an S-corp mm-hmm. to avoid it, which is not difficult to do, but it is a different tax designation and it has different rules. So it requires you to pay yourself as a W-2, and it requires you to basically pay everybody as a W-2 and do a bunch of other stuff, which can be a lot for one person. If you're the only employee, you don't necessarily need to W-2 yourself.
Yeah.
So taxes for me usually take about 3 months. I start doing them in January. I turn them in like April because I have to write every expense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a double-edged sword because if you write off a lot of expenses, then you look less profitable. If you look less profitable, then you might not get as much funding. Or if you're trying to go out for VC capital, they're like, are you making any money? Because you have a lot of expenses. So are you really making any money? So you kind of got to figure out that balance. But it's either write off your expenses and have like a low tax bill, or have a high profitability and have a high tax bill, and you kind of have to figure out which one works for you mm-hmm. and go from there.
So you do your own taxes?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because, it's a headache.
Yeah. Well, I just know, like, personally, my mom and dad, they have someone do them for them.
Yeah.
And, like, even that seems very stressful to me because I'm not great with numbers, but also taxes in general are so important. And, like mm-hmm. you said, for a business, like, it really does matter if you're turning a profit and if you're losing money and what you write off.
Yeah. And then you have to keep up with your receipts because they might come back in 10 years and be like, we need that receipt from Walmart from 2018. You've got to go find it.
Yeah. My dad carries around a booklet in his truck, and when they go get fuel in the morning or he buys anything at Lowe's or anything, he keeps the receipt, and he'll get mad if you forget one because
he needs it.
Exactly, he needs it. So that's crazy. Using like a company card or something, you have to keep every single receipt, yes. And you have to turn it in every single day.
Yes, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. I have a box full of receipts from last year. You found it. Yeah. And you're like, you need all these receipts? Yeah, I do. I need literally every single one of them.
It was crazy.
When you think about it, I mean, you make more purchases than you would think.
You make a lot of purchases. You spend a lot. I mean, a good 70% of anybody's business income is straight expenses. Mm-hmm. Like, it really does just all go back out, which is why that profitability component is so important. If you have a high overhead, but you're not bringing in any money, that's why businesses die. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like what we talked about in class.
Yeah, it's literally what we talked about.
If you, I know, like, I'm taking econ with Professor Shearer. Right Shearer?
Yeah. Oh, man. That guy.
We were talking about this morning. If you can't sell it for more than what you make it for, you're not going to be able to do it. So, exactly. Like what you said at the beginning, if you make it for $100,000, you have to sell it for more than $100,000.
Yeah, $200,000, right?
Yeah. You're not going to make any money.
Do you, like down the line, do you plan to go into like a bigger, you know, business, like corporation or anything else, like
getting with partners? Or?
I'm not quite sure necessarily on if I plan to partner with another business and kind of not have our house but have something else. As far as like growing, we definitely intend to grow and have our own standalone space, and then hopefully at some point build other locations where we can service other places. But right now we're okay being in Indianapolis because we're able to just travel. So mm-hmm. when our clients are in Chicago and they want us to come, we just go. Mm-hmm. They're in Las Vegas and they want us to come, we just go. So we don't necessarily need a physical hub in those places, but it would be pretty cool to have them anyway.
Yeah, get your name out there and then cater to even, like, I guess you have employees smaller, not just those big contracts out in places that you can't reach as easily.
Right.
Which is very important. So I guess, too, kind of branching off that, if you were to see one of those physical locations manifest, what would be your ideal location outside of Indianapolis?
That's a good question. Where would I want to go? I don't know. That's a really good question because I don't like the heat. So I can't even say I would go to the south because it's hot. And I don't like the cold. So I don't know. Maybe in the East Coast because they know how to party out there. Mm-hmm. And they don't have any problem with spending what it takes. I have a lot of friends who are artists in New York. And there are people, they will spend $50,000 on a kid's birthday. They don't care. Like, because they're all about trying to one-up the next person. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's good because I want you to one-up them. So use me to do it. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
I'm right here.
Right.
You call me. I'll make what you need.
Right.
Oh, yeah, they did that. All right, I got better.
Right. Exactly.
What are some of the, trials and tribulations throughout this business that you're in right now?
Well, I mean, I have one foot right now. Because I broke my ankle last week during All-Star Week, which is one of the busiest weeks of my career. And that was a trial and tribulation in itself because I still had to go to work with one foot. You know,
just got to do it.
Still got to get up and down the ladder. Still got to get things done. Thankfully, I did have some builders here who were able to have my back, and they're like, no, we got it. We will do this for you. Just tell us where you want it to go. We'll put it up there. Yeah. They didn't want to let me do nothing. I'm trying to, like, sneak behind the wall and, like, climb on the ladder, and they're like, what you doing? I'm like, nothing. I'm doing anything. I'm just checking. I'm just making sure it's okay.
Right. I was about to say, sounding off on that, you sound like a perfectionist.
Yeah.
That's needed, right, in the line of work to make profit and do what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm always trying to satisfy my clients. I never want them to feel like, oh, we purchased this thing for some couple thousands of dollars and we received something that looks like a child made it. Mm-hmm. I want it to always look like it came from a professional company because that's what they hired. Mm-hmm. And that attention to detail is what has allowed my business to be set apart from other businesses. Yeah, it might take us an extra hour because that full hour was just me moving stuff around, but that's what my client is going to notice. They're going to notice the end. They're going to notice that I took that whole column down and put it back because there was one row I did not like. Versus I just left it and was like, oh, it's fine. Yeah. This is never just fine.
Never.
Never
satisfied.
No, I'm never satisfied.
Right.
I like that. I respect that a lot because, I mean, that really shows that you care about the person you're working for and not just, you know,
Yeah.
Getting in and getting out, like, it matters to you.
Yeah,
that's,
it does.
I think that's a big part of being a successful entrepreneur is it's got to matter to you.
Right, it does. And the quality has to be there. So you have to always be hungry. And you always have to be looking at it like, I can make this better. And how? How to make this better? Even if you have the best products in the world, it can be better. So how? Ask some people. Find out. Do some market research. Ask people what they like about what you provide and what they would change if they could change anything. If what they can change is reasonable, maybe change it. If what they can change is something you're like, that would compromise the whole integrity of what I offer, then don't change it.
I like that. We're actually going over market research right now for our group projects. So, I mean, if you have more to talk on that, like coming from a person who runs a small business, do you you straight up go and ask your clients or ask people at the venue?
Yeah, all of that. So I'll ask people, random people, people who are not even connected with what I'm doing. I'm like, what you think about this? You like this? Do you think this looks good? I remember I did some stuff for the Netflix special with Mike Epps, and I kept asking the Netflix people that were just walking around. First of all, minding their own business, and I just kept interrupting them what they were doing. And I'm like, what do you think about this? Is this Netflix worthy? Because I needed to know, because they see things all the time. So I need you to tell me, does this photograph well? Does it look good in your camera? When you walk by, how do you feel when you see these things? When you came in, did you feel like the party was here? Or did you feel like, what is this? So, you know, you just doing it like that. And then I always give my clients approval before I leave. The person who hired me, I don't care if they're not even there. I will send them a picture. Look at this and tell me what you think before I step out of this door, because I'm about to go and I want to make sure that you are satisfied before I leave.
All right.
That's awesome.
That is.
I think that's why you're going to become even more successful, because
thank you.
That's a very good trait. And I, like you said earlier, you used to have social anxiety, and I know that's a big step for a lot of people. I think that's really like an important part of being an entrepreneur is getting out there, even if you're uncomfortable with it, like,
you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable, because you're kind of always going to be uncomfortable. If you are comfortable in entrepreneurship, something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And that's another one of the things that we talk about all the time.
That is crazy.
Getting out there and doing your thing.
That's the biggest networking like key right there.
Yeah.
Do stuff that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah, all the time. Challenge yourself. Keep on chasing it, whether it seems easy or even if it seems unattainable. Nobody thought we were going to go to the moon, but then we did.
Mm-hmm.
So just got to.
And like you said earlier, you never thought that you would make a full-time job out of making balloons. And now.
Yeah, doing balloons literally got me tickets to the All-Star game.
That's awesome.
What? The NBA literally gave me tickets. I'm like, that's crazy. For some balloons that you paid me for. Right. You also gave me tickets to this sold-out, very $2,000 a person game. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, that's incredible. So I guess we can turn it around a little bit. So if you could do it over, like if you were set back to where you started, is there like what would you change or anything you would do differently?
I probably would have started earlier. If I knew then what I know now, I definitely would have started earlier. But I think that the path that I've walked was the path for me. So who knows if I would have been as successful if I started earlier. I might have crashed and burned. So it all, like, you know, it worked in its own timing. But I do wish I would have started this when I was in college. And then maybe I would be a little bit further along instead of wasting all that time getting a bachelor's degree in criminal justice that I used for a few years and then don't use it anymore.
So that's what you got your degree in, criminal justice?
Yes, because I originally wanted to be a Supreme Court judge. I was just really motivated to do that. Mm-hmm. But then my dad was murdered, and that kind of changed my entire life, really.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's so my personal experience, it's nothing like that, but like I've had a couple of family members, like my aunts run a salon, and so like my aunt went to college criminal justice as well. She wanted to be a cop and ended up as a hairstylist because she figured that was her passion. That's what she wanted to do, and she went and did it, and now she's doing it. She's got two happy little kids and having fun. So
that's really nice. I love that.
That's amazing. Is there any last comments you got?
I mean, I've had a great time talking to you, and I think you're the perfect embodiment of an entrepreneur, and I think you're going to do great things because of what you said. So,
appreciate you.
Always, yeah.
I'm glad to see you being successful.
Thanks. I know, Jess. You're just cute.
Well, yeah. Thank you very much for your time. You know, thank you for telling us your story.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you. That will be it. And yeah. Yeah.